الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention. We ask Allah to grant peace. We ask Allah to send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, his wives, and each and every person who follows them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. Youth in a booth. The title itself can be interpreted in many different ways. Perhaps it is a smaller version of Ashabul Kahf. Instead of a cave, nowadays we have booths. And we intend, and with Allah lies success, that the youth of today are able to relive the moments and the experiences and the lifestyle of Ashabul Kahf. It is not a coincidence that we were encouraged to recite Surah Al-Kahf every Jumu'ah. It is a sunnah to recite Surah Al-Kahf every Jumu'ah. The issue which we have is that we recite without knowing what we're reading. We just get the Arabic out of the way. But how many of us actually read the translation in a language which we understand? Maybe none. Maybe one. Maybe a few. But is the objective of the recitation merely recitation, or is the message supposed to be delivered? Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book which we have sent down upon you, blessed, لِيَتَّبَّرُوا, so that they may reflect upon its signs, its miracles, its verses, if you want to use that term. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and people who are intellectual, the intelligent people, will take a reminder. And when Allah wanted to criticize particular individuals who would only recite without understanding, He said, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. And among them are those who are uneducated, those who are illiterate, they know nothing of the book but recitation. That's why I appreciated the fact that there was a translation provided for the Quran which was recited. Because it sounds nice, Jazakallah khair, but we really want to know what He said. And what He said is what Allah said. And so this is of vital importance, the speech of Allah. If a regular person came and gave a speech in a language, let's say in German, would you all come listen to a German lecture and go home without knowing what the German guy said? You will definitely get a German translator, someone who will translate to your language what he said. Otherwise, why would you come and listen to a foreign language? But we seem to accept that in the Quran. It's okay to just listen to the Arabic or just to read the Arabic. No need to understand. Even though the speech of a human being is given more significance than the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sad, but true. So the youth, which are a valuable asset, or one of the most valuable assets, or the most valuable assets of the Ummah, they are the backbone. They are the foundation. If you ruin them, then there will be nothing to come. Because the elderly, with all due respect, they've already put forth what Allah had decreed for them. And when they move on to the next stage in this long life of a human being, I mean by that the worldly life, then the barzakh, then the life to come, the only people that will carry that message and that responsibility and that effort will be the generation which follows. And these are the youth. And the youth are being targeted. They're not left alone. If they were left alone, it would be an easy task. But they are targeted just like the females we were discussing earlier today. Women are being targeted, youth are being targeted. Because if these two entities of the society are destroyed, then no prosperity shall be seen in our society. And like mentioned before, it does not mean that Islam will be put to an end or that it will not continue. It will continue, but not through us. Allah will replace us with other people who will do the job. And so it's moving on. The question is, are we going to get involved? Or are we going to be spectators? Now, the story of the Ashabul Kahf, the companions of the cave, is an amazing one. And many lessons have been deduced by the scholars of tafsir in regards to this particular story. And time doesn't allow to address each and every one of them. However, some of the things which we can all relate to, and that's why I hope that in the future, inshallah, when we recite Surah Al-Kahf, at least this coming Jumu'ah, after you finish the Arabic text, or while reading the Arabic text, read the translation. Relate to the ayah. There you go. Usually I'm so loud, I ruin all microphones. I'm used to it. This one worked again, alhamdulillah. Read the translation and understand what is being said. Because the affair is very unusual. These were a bunch of youngsters whom Allah guided. But the quality which make them distinct from the rest of the youth in their times is their willingness and their perseverance to adhere to the truth at all costs. They were not ones who would compromise. And even though they were living in a society which conflicted with the oneness and uniqueness of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, they decided that they shall not accept nor subdue to the pressures which were being placed on them by the society. And so as Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٌ وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. At times of need, you don't call on anyone but Allah. And that is the first thing that they did. At the time of difficulty and at the time of ease, the only one that a believer calls on is Allah. Because Allah is the one in control and everyone is controlled. And if you remain spending time and dealing with those who are being controlled, then you will not have access to the one in control. And you will fail, ultimately. So they called on Allah and asked Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow upon them mercy and to facilitate their affair. To facilitate their affair. To give them right guidance in their matter. And miraculously, they go to a cave. A cave where they remain there for 300 some years. Was Dadu Tisa. 300 plus years they are living in a cave. The sun does not make their bodies go bad. The way it moves and the location in which they were in was as such that they will receive sufficient amount of sun and their bodies would not become rotten. Then they would be turning over to the different sides, because if you remain on one side, eventually the earth will devour you. So they were made to turn. نُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. We make him turn to the right and to the left. And their eyes were made to remain open. And a dog was there in the front, just in case someone walked by, he would be so scared. As Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. You would have been very scared of their appearance. And they remained in this fashion, running away with their deen. And when you run away with your deen to Allah, Allah will protect you. That is the most important and ultimate lesson. If you don't learn anything tonight from this lecture except this, then to me, this is sufficient. that when you place your trust in Allah, against all odds, Allah shall protect you in ways which are against the norm, against the usual. And indeed their affair was such, and then they eventually came out, and then the people were amazed. They were a sign for the people, because when they went to buy the food, he had some old currency. He went to pick out the best food. They said, "Where did you get this money from?" Then the people realized the story had been circulating amongst the generations. They realized these are the Shabab that had disappeared before. And they became a sign for their people. Today the youth have to follow a similar methodology. However, you don't have to go to a cave, because your parents are not going to let you. They will be asking about you. What happened to my son? What happened to my daughter? But that is not necessary now. By Allah's grace, there are plenty of Muslims around for your protection to be provided. Alhamdulillah. So this is no longer necessary physically, but it is still necessary spiritually. That mentality that they had, you still have to apply. And so you have to refer your affairs to Allah. If we don't refer our affairs to Allah, then what has happened to the nations that preceded us shall befall us as well. And you can study history, and you can still go and visit locations, and you see the remainings of the nations which were destroyed because of their rejection of what was supposed to be accepted. The youth are not of one kind. They're not of one kind. They are categorized in three different categories. The first type is like the one of Ashabul Kahf, the strong, the powerful, the confident, the courageous, the ones who truly love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a very, very fine issue that requires fine elaboration. It's easy to say nowadays, we love Allah and His Messenger. Everybody loves Allah and His Messenger. Every single Muslim on earth, if you ask him, you love Allah and His Messenger? It's a sure thing, of course. And if he were to say no, then you would have to doubt whether he is a Muslim. But see, that love is an expression. That allegation, that claim is words. And people are very good with words. And they say, you know, the local street proverb, talk is cheap. And they are more eloquent proverbs. This is a street one. Talk is cheap. Someone can tell you, I can carry a truck. Now you give me a truck, any truck, I'll carry it on my shoulders. And he's 20 kilos. Say, look man, I don't think, just bring a truck. Say, okay, look, stop talking. Go and get a truck. Bring the truck and make him carry the truck. You find that he can't even carry the wheels. And you say, my friend, talk is cheap. We could have let you talk for weeks, and for weeks he would tell you, I can, I can, I can, I can, and he can't do anything. And so because anyone can talk and say, I love Allah and His Messenger, Allah did not let it happen like that. There was a challenge presented by Allah in Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 31. I usually don't quote Ayah, Surah and Ayah, but this is an exception to the rule. So don't anticipate this in the remaining of the lecture. Al-Hasan al-Basri, before I elaborate, had said in regards to this ayah, some people claim that they love Allah. And so Allah revealed this ayah, and so the scholars called it ayah to tahaddi, the ayah of challenge, or the challenging ayah. And it says, قُلْ, And you know, whenever قل, whatever you read, قل, this is Allah addressing the Prophet ﷺ to say to the people. And we are included in the address, unless there's an evidence that this is strictly for the Prophet ﷺ. Because there were times when Allah spoke strictly to the Messenger in the Quran, and we are not included in the speech. But the general principle, we are part of it. So when he says to him, قل, that means we, after the Prophet ﷺ, will say to the rest of the people, قل, say, إن كنتم تحبون الله, إن كنتم, إن, if you love Allah. And the word which you have to add in English, which is not there in Arabic, is truly. If you truly love Allah, if you truly love Allah, that is the challenge now. Or that is the claim. We're claiming, everyone claims, I love Allah. Wallahi, I love Allah. Okay, time out. فَاتَّبِعُونِ, then follow me. Huh? Now this is like bringing a truck. Okay, you love Allah? Okay, come over here. Now let us read the Bukhari here, and Muslim, and Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, Ibn Abi Shayba, ila akhiri. Bring the books of ahadith, bring the sealed nectar of Shaykh Mubarak Furi rahimahullah, bring the all of the traditions and the biographies of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Say, this is the Messenger of Allah, and this is you. Where is the following? Where is it? In fact, I can't find any trace of it. Or maybe 1%, maybe 2%, maybe 3%. But is that considered following? Is 3%, 5%? Let it be 10%, ya Sheikh. Is that following? That is not following. That is not. If a soccer player, Zakallahu Khair, if a soccer player or some superstar, he had a bunch of shabab run to him and say, you know, you are the best. We all love you. We all follow you. And he looks at them and they don't do anything like him. They don't look like him. They don't talk like him. They don't dress like him. They have nothing to do with him. Except that he wears the same color socks. He says, you wear pink socks because now it's the fashion. Men can wear pink now. You wear pink socks, I'm wearing pink socks. He says, that's it? That's it? You wear pink socks, you consider yourself some of my fans? Let me show you my other fans. Look at his hair, it's like mine. Look at his clothes, they're like mine. Look how he speaks like me, he sings like me, he talks like me, he walks like me. This is a fan. You're just a clown. Get out of here. Wearing socks like me. He will disqualify you from being a true follower. And this is an artist. So this 5-10% which we are happy with is not really indicative of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the ayah says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. And following means complete and total adherence. Now, perfection belongs to Allah. So no matter what we do, we cannot emulate 100% the Messenger of Allah. So don't strive too hard. It's not going to happen. Don't blame yourself if you don't make it. But is an effort being made? Are we 50% halfway there? Are we getting closer on daily basis? Or are we foreigners to the Sunnah? Follow me. Then what is the result? Here's the amazing part of the ayah. The ayah began by one of us trying to prove that he loves Allah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. You will expect the ayah to say, according to our understanding, then now you have proven that you really love Allah. But the result of following the Prophet ﷺ is يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah shall love you. Not only that, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He will forgive you your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So now it's nice when your parents love you. It's nice when the teachers in school love you. It's nice when your neighbors love you. But if Allah loves you, then hey, what else do you want? What else do you want? يعني if the one who created you, and the one who will judge you, and the one in whose hands is paradise and the hellfire, And the one who controls everything all the time, everywhere, before, now, and after. If the one who is in charge of every single thing loves you, what do you care about afterwards? Or who do you care about afterwards? It doesn't matter. While if your parents loved you, and the neighbors loved you, and the teachers loved you, and everybody loved you, and Allah doesn't or didn't love you, then with all due respect, you didn't achieve anything at all. Because يوم القيامة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه. Everybody will run away from everybody else. No, but لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا. No soul should have any benefit or anything to offer to any other soul. Everyone will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. So that love which you strove to acquire from them on the expense of losing Allah's love, on the day of judgment, it will be a source of regret. يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. On the day when the wrongdoer will bite on his hands and he will say, oh, I wish I had taken a path with the Messenger of Allah. Meaning I was upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Woe to me had I not taken such and such person as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He misled me from the reminder and the remembrance after it had come to me. So the most important achievable objective in life is attaining Allah's love. The first category of the youth are ones who fall under that category. They have already acquired Allah's love. They love Allah, and Allah loves them. They love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They look up to him, they imitate him, they love him, they follow him. Anything from the sunnah presented to them is more beloved to them than the earth and whatever is upon it. Not that you have to negotiate with them for 2 years just for one sunnah to be applied. Every day, akhi, please, but the Messenger of Allah, no, tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. For years you keep debating, just for them to act upon one sunnah, and some of them still don't want it. As if you know, you're selling them a lousy product. When do you usually have to negotiate and be pushy? When you have a bad product, and the purchaser is not convinced. But when you're selling the best product, when you have the best product ever, It is unacceptable and it is illogical to reject. Someone is giving, and it's free. It's free. It's not like he's telling, give me money so you can act upon the sunnah. It's free. So the question is, brothers and sisters, are you there? Do you think you or I, have we qualified to be in the first category? Or are we quite far? The good news is, if we are far, it's not too late. The fact that you're alive now, alhamdulillah, and you're here, and you have the chance to change, and that change doesn't happen, it doesn't have to happen next week, it happens now. Now, while you're sitting here, you have a new resolve, niyyah, new intention, khalas, I'm gonna change. From now on, I will imitate and follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly. It's that easy. And if you die tonight, it is as if you have done it. Because the man who killed 99 people and then had asked about the most knowledgeable person, and they took him to a devout worshipper who didn't have any ilm, he told him, you killed 99 people, there's no tawbah for you, man. You've done too many crimes for Allah to forgive you. He said, okay, then I'll kill you as well. And he made him a hand. I mean, he told him no tawbah. So what's the point now? Might as well. So he killed him, made him a hand, but he still felt guilty. He asked again about the most knowledgeable person. They took him to a alim, a scholar. The importance of knowledge. And he told him, I've killed 100 souls. I want to repent. He said, who can prevent you from tawbah? What can prevent you from tawbah? 100 souls. Alhamdulillah, I don't think any one of you have killed 100 people. We've done way lesser crimes. Yet with 100 souls which he killed, all the man told him was, look, you're living in a bad environment. Okay? So you just relocate to this other city. In this other city, there are righteous people worshiping Allah. You just go over there. He said, okay. And he got on the journey immediately. No salah, no siyam, no zakah, nothing. He hasn't done anything yet. He just started traveling towards that city. He died on the way. The angels differed about where he should go. The angels of mercy said he was going to Allah. And the angels of adab, punishment, said, this guy didn't do any good and he killed 100 people. And according to the hadith in Tirmidhi, Allah Azza wa Jal made the earth expand. They said, measure the distance. Which land is he closer to? Allah made the land expand, so he is closer to the city he was traveling to. The angels of mercy took him and Allah forgave him. That's it. So if you haven't killed 100 souls, and nobody's telling you move to another city, move your heart to another location. The environment here symbolizes the evil which you're involved in. Leave that evil. Leave pornography. Leave nakedness. Leave lies. Leave this association partners with Allah. Leave being undutiful to your parents. Leave following your desires. When you leave all these things and you do hijrah, you migrate with your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you die tonight, you're done. You are qualified for all this goodness. This is how merciful Allah is, and this is how easy the deen is. But does the shaitan want you to make that move? Never. Oh no, if you make this move, he lost big time. So as I'm speaking, he will start giving you excuses as why you don't have to do this, or why you're not ready for this, or why you can wait a little longer until I finish school, until I do this. This is all from the tricks of the shaitan. Don't buy them. The resolve and the determination occurs instantly because your niyyah is of value in the deen of Islam. So I hope that we fall under that category. Because if we don't, then we will fall under the second category. And it is the shabab who are confused. 50-50. Or sometimes 60-40. Or 40-60. Or 70-30. Or 30-70. Ala kulli hal, they're jumping around back and forth between righteousness and wickedness. Obedience and disobedience. Practicing and not practicing. Adhering, not adhering. And these are the majority. And this is good. It's good that there are many who are actually in the area of struggle. In the area of striving for Allah's cause. For their own rectification. For their own salvation. This is good news. We want everybody to be in the first category. But if we are in the second, then we are on the way. Continue though. Continue and don't give up. Now, the societies in which we live, the modern world, I'm not speaking about this country, we've seen, alhamdulillah, hospitality and kindness in Sri Lanka, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wonderful brothers, jazakum Allahu khairan. The world in general is not the same anymore. Modern technology has changed things in such a dramatic way, and such a drastic way, it's amazing. Before, if someone wanted to look at a woman that is not dressed properly, okay, they would have to actually go on a journey. Assuming they lived in some desert-like area, he may have to get on his horse and go ride in the horse, go to an area where there are no good women, whatever. Nowadays, you pick up your phone and you have everything there on YouTube. You pick up a magazine, turn on the TV. It's everywhere now. It's all right there in your face. So the temptation has become greater. Before, people had to make many different steps to commit sin. Now sin is throwing itself at you 24/7. Around the clock, everywhere you go. Billboards, women all over the place. You know, all kinds of vice is being encouraged. So that makes it more challenging. Because of that, the Prophet ﷺ said that there shall come a time upon my ummah where the one who adheres to the deen is like one who's holding a burning coal in his hand. It's very difficult. He said to the Sahaba that this person will have the ajr of 50. They said, O Messenger of Allah, 50 from among us or 50 from among them? He said, no, 50 from among you. Not that anyone will ever be better than the Sahaba. Never. Never. But that the ajr which you will receive will be equivalent to 50. He said, because you have an environment which helps you adhere to Islam, they will have no one helping them. It'll be fitan all over the place. So accept these good tidings and these glad tidings, O Shabab, that the struggle that you're doing is not going to waste. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Allah shall not let the ajr, the reward of those who do good, go to waste. Allah will not let it go to waste. It is there, it is recorded by the malaika. They're writing down every single struggle that you go through, every single temptation which comes to you and you resist fi sabilillah. The angels are writing it down and the ajr is being multiplied. You need to continue as we need to continue in this path until we become in the first category. Because if we don't, then we may drop down a level. The level of the last category of the Shabab, those who are completely lost. They don't have any direction. They were not like the Ashabul Kahf. And because of them abandoning what was incumbent on them, they were abandoned as well. And this is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal with the creations. وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah, so He made them forget about themselves. They don't even know, they don't even realize it. This is the calamity, is not that they only forgot about themselves. With this forgetfulness, there are many veils. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, these ayat they amazingly depict the condition of these people. Whosoever turns away from the reminder, from the Quran and the Sunnah, we shall assign for him a devil who will be his close companion. A shaitan always whispering to you what to do and how to do it and how to go against the deen and how to go against your parents and how to do what you think is cool. You want to be cool. It's all about being cool nowadays. You know, the old people are out of fashion. Old fashioned, they don't understand. No, I understand. No, Habibi, you don't understand. They understand. Someone who lived three times your age has way more experience than you can ever imagine. And only when you grow old, you will say, and I thought I knew. Ask people now who are 18, talk to him when he's 21. He will tell you, when I was 18, I was dumb. Now I understand. And in 4 years from 21 to 25, he will tell you, when I was 21, I was dumb also. And you will continue to realize that you really didn't know anything until you become old. But now the shaitan wants you to think, no, you know everything, they don't know anything. In fact, they know everything, you don't know anything. You know why? Because the shaitan is the one who's beautifying all this for you. فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Then look at the next ayah. And verily, this shaitan of yours, who will be your best friend, إِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. They will be preventing you from the path. This is the path of salvation, going to Jannah. He will put a block for you. He will put a block for you. Now, you don't see the block. You don't say, oh, there's a block, I need to go over it. I need to go under it. I need to penetrate it. I need to go around it. No. He will put a block and he will give you another way, a side way, a shortcut. And he will tell you, this is the way. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they presume that they are rightly guided. So you talk to him, say, my friend, you know, what are you doing? He says, you religious people, you know, all this religion, man-made stuff to control people. You don't understand anything. There's no God, there's no nothing. It's all you, blah, blah. He thinks he's, mashallah, he's very intelligent. No, Islam is, you know, I tell you, Islam is just your heart, akhi. If you are, my heart is pure, but you don't pray. I know, but my heart is pure. What kind of pure heart doesn't pray? What kind of purity is that? I'm interested in seeing it. So they will tell you that you're an extremist. You're just crazy. I understand. Don't think I don't know Islam. I know Islam. Okay, Islam is take it easy. You know, they quote ayat. They have evidences. The shaitan actually issues fatwa on a daily basis. There's the permanent committee of ifta, and there's the fatwa of the shayateen. They give fatwa, and these people will convey the fatwa to you. Brother, ad-deen yusur, brother. Allahu ghafurun rahim. Religion is easy. Allah is forgiving, merciful. Just relax, man. Let me enjoy life. Alhamdulillah, I say la ilaha illallah. Khalas. Is that what is expected? If that was sufficient, Allah would have revealed in the Quran only, say la ilaha illallah. That's it. There would be no salah, no siyam, no zakah, no tilka hududullah, fala taqrabuha. These are the limitations of Allah. Don't go near them. Tilka hududullah, fala ta'taduha. These are the limitations of Allah. Do not transgress against them. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. Oh, you have believed, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. These would not have been revealed. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Say, my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah, the Lord of everything. These would not have been revealed. They were revealed because there's a lot more to do than simply saying la ilaha illallah. Not that we're undermining the value of la ilaha illallah. That is the most valuable thing you can say. But that expression has implications that support it and make it fruitful and beneficial. Otherwise, it's just talk. So these shayateen will be misleading you from the path while you think that you are rightly guided. And this is the worst thing because you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. Because Allah said, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The many sins which we commit have created veils over our hearts, so we no longer see. So when the maw'idah, when the reminder comes, it doesn't find access to the heart. It's like bodyguards. The sins act like a bodyguard against righteousness. When good people want to visit you, the bodyguards will say, stay outside. Only shayateen are allowed. Any shaitan outside, tafaddal. Any angel, any righteous person, stay out. This is the sins. The sins create a veil over the heart. Any reminder does not make it. Does not make it. It doesn't have access to the heart. And so the last category of youth, the ones who are totally lost, this is the most devastating to us. And it is the obligation of the parents, the leaders of the society, and the youth of the first two categories to bring these youth from what they're in. And the ones who can do the best job are the other youth. The ones who can do the most effective job in bringing this third category are the first and the second among the youth. Because the parents, again, they think that they're too old, they don't understand, and the leaders may not be listened to because of whatever reason. But a young man speaking to a young man can have a more effect on him than an old man speaking to a young man. And so the question which I pose to the shabab of the first and second category, where are you? And what are you doing? And what are you waiting for? You just what? You just learn Islam and you keep it to yourself? Are you stingy? Is that a private property that you purchase? No one is allowed? Or is this something that you're supposed to share with the people? Now that you've learned, now that you've practiced some of the sunnah, spread the sunnah. This shabab that you see lost, you work with them, or they're in school, you go to the same school. Don't just say, oh, this fulan is lost. May Allah guide him. Jazakallah khair for the dua. But you are a reason in hidayah. Guidance is of two kinds. The guidance of tawfiq, success that comes from Allah. And the guidance of direction. Which Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Verily you, meaning O Messenger of Allah, you guide to a straight path. Meaning you show directions. The guidance comes from Allah, but you are the one showing direction. So you make dua for this lost man. Yeah, but go and talk to him. Take him on the side. Tell him, what's your problem? What are you facing? What issues do you have? Let us work on them together. Come with me to the masjid. I was in the same situation. When I returned to Allah, my life changed. I am better now. I found a way. Come, join me. He needs someone to pull him out. If you leave him drowning, he will lose and you will lose. And the ummah will lose. So it is necessary that you realize that. It is an obligation on us to make that change. مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. فَأَلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. If you're unable to change it with your hand, because sometimes doing so will create more problems, back off. Don't do it with your hand. Don't get too excited. Say something if that is feasible. فَأَلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you're unable even with to say something, then in your heart don't approve of it, but that is the weakest of faith. Nowadays, freedom of speech. You can speak. You have the right to speak to another misguided Muslim and say, come back and practice Islam. No one can come and say, you don't have the right to do so. You have every right to do so according to the international law. Practice that freedom. Speak to him. Change the evil which you see around you so that the Muslims can prosper. Now, I will enumerate, inshallah, some of the most major critical problems that the youth face. And we'll try to provide some advice in regards to how to tackle them and get over them. One of the most common problems is idleness. You know, you got a lot of free time. Even though we really don't have enough time. It's amazing how we don't have enough time, but some people manage to find a lot of free time. So that free time which they have is spent playing video games and watching television and soap operas, you know, the 6,000 episode one. It's been on since before your parents were born. And every year, you know, they say, khalas, this is the final year, and then they surprise you with another, you know, 200 episodes just for your pleasure. And so with all the time in the world, yes, sure. You have plenty of time to watch TV and play video games and watch soap operas. But then you bring this young man and say, can you quote one ayah from the Quran that magnifies the importance of Tawheed? And all you see is a jaw dropping. Let me call my friend. I don't want you to call your friend, akhi. What do you know? Well, brother, you know, see, I don't have time. Really? You were watching, you know, this thing for 3 hours yesterday, man. You had plenty of time. Yeah, I mean, besides all the things I do, I don't have time. Yeah, maybe you need to stop doing a lot of that. And you know, they, it's not a coincidence that they have PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and the list goes on. Nintendo, Xbox, Y-Box, Z-Box, A-Box, B-Box, I don't know what else they're going to come up with. Just bring the whole alphabet and make sure the Shabab are enjoying their lives. So you find professionals in beating games. In one day, he buys it. By the end of the day, he finished all, you know, 50 levels. And he beat the biggest, you know, challenge, some monkey or something that they wind up fighting at the end of the game. You know, the arcade games back in the day. Say, mashallah, brother, you got a lot of skills which the ummah needs. It's very beneficial for us, really, mashallah, your skills in beating games. And so really, this is ridiculous. You need to stop. There's really no time. The people who came before us, man, they couldn't. They wish they were 40 hours in the day, so they can finish the obligations, keeping the kinship ties, being obedient to the parents, enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, praying, establishing the salah. So many things to do, not enough time to do them. And nowadays, we don't even keep our kinship ties. We have time to play, but no time to visit our aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews and what have you. Even though this is a greater obligation than you think. It's a very important obligation, keeping the kinship ties. How many of us do so? Being obedient to the parents. How many times has your father called you and told you, I'm waiting for you downstairs, or I need you to go do something, and you tell him, yes, Baba, 10 more minutes for the show and I'll be right there. You know how big of a haram this is? You have no idea what a grave sin you committed by merely telling your father, wait 10 minutes because I'm finishing this show. You think it's not a big deal? It's a big deal in the sight of Allah. Your father has to wait for you to finish a game. The people in the past, he said, wallahi, if you told me to describe my father, I would not be able to do so. I never looked him in the face. And one of them, he would never sleep on the second floor if his parents were downstairs, because he didn't want to be upstairs while his parents are downstairs. Another one said that when I eat with my mother, I never eat first, because I'm afraid I may take the food which she has her eye on. She saw a piece of chicken that she intended to eat. I'm afraid I will take it first from her. This will be undutiful. He doesn't even touch the food until his mother is done. And you all know the story about the three who were stuck in the cave and the rock rolled over and blocked them. One of them, what did he do? He went to get milk for his parents. He came back, he found them asleep. He stayed standing from the night until Fajr while his children are crying at his feet to have milk. But he had a principle. He doesn't feed milk to his children until he feeds his parents. He stood all night carrying the milk until the parents woke up by themselves. He didn't say, excuse me, wake up, I have the milk in my hand. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Now we tell him, I'm busy. I have other things to do. Misunderstanding of Islam. Now you're supposed to be, you know, your father and your mother, they are the commanders in chief. And you are the obedient soldier. If they told you to fly, and you can fly, you have to fly. As long as they don't tell you to disobey Allah. If they tell you to disobey Allah, you don't obey anyone in the world. But if they tell you that which is halal and mubah and allowed, you have to listen to them instantly. No argument involved. No, not even argument. Some of the scholars said, if you wanted to go to a lecture, an Islamic lecture, and you went to your mom or dad and said, I want to go to the lecture, and said no, it is not dutiful for you to say, please let me go. Just to try to convince them further is not allowed. Because parents are sensitive and they're emotional. And when they see you being pushy, they may allow you even though inside they don't want to. So you actually went against their will even though they allowed you. Because they did it out of compassion, not because they were convinced. Rather, when they tell you, no, don't go to the lecture, say, Alhamdulillah. Because maybe in that lecture, Allah had decreed that you will go astray. And by listening to your parents, Allah protected you from going astray. You don't know where goodness is. That's how you're supposed to be with your parents. So instead of saying there's idleness, there's really no idleness. It would be nice if you stayed at your parents' feet and asked them, what is it that they want that you can do for them? And if you visited your relatives and you kept your kinship ties and adhered to the teachings of Islam, trust me, you will not have any idle time afterwards. The second problem that faces the youth is the alienation, being an alien, in other words, not an alien that comes from a spaceship, obviously, between the youth and the elderly, which is what I addressed earlier. There's this huge gap between the elder generation or the older generation and the younger generation. And this requires effort on both ends. You know, the elderly have to kind of realize the difficulty that the youngsters are going through. So they have to also try to understand where they're coming from. Have to be more compromising in, to a certain extent. And the youth have to understand and respect the elderly and realize that they have way more experience than them. So everyone has to do something on his part in order for them to come together. Because you can learn things from a wise person that you will not learn in 20 years living by yourself. A wiser person can give you a shortcut. He will tell you, look, I've already tried this. And this is the result. He saves you the trouble of having to figure that out on your own. The third problem is companionship. Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? الْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِقُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The one of you is upon the religion of his close companion. So each one of you observe, who is your close companion? Who do you hang out with? If you hang out with the wrong crowd, you will be with them and like them. No doubt. Look, it has been proven that if you hang out with one person and he laughs a particular way, you will start laughing like him. Your own natural laugh, which was once yours, will become identical to the person you hang out with the most. You start thinking the same. You start acting the same. You use the same words. You make the same moves. It is a natural occurrence that when you spend much time with someone, you become like each other. So I ask you, who do you spend time with? If you're spending time with the wrong guys, then you will eventually be like them. So change your friends. Look for the righteous Muslims. Look for the righteous, obedient Muslims. And stick to them. Stick to them as much as you can, because these, bi-idhnillah, will protect you from many vice and many sins that are around. If you hang out with someone who likes to pray in the masjid, if you hang out with someone who is mindful of salah, just by hanging out with them, at the time of salah, are you going to be praying or not? You'll be praying. Even though if you were by yourself, you would wait. You would say, I'll pray when I get home. But if your friends say, no, we pray now. In the middle of the street or on the side of the road, wherever, we have to pray now. Then by nature, you're not going to say you pray by yourself. You say, okay, Allahu Akbar. And you pray with him. And if you hang out with someone who doesn't want to pray, even though you want to pray, maybe the first day, to second day, third day, you will win. Eventually you will say, Yallah. Yallah, he doesn't pray and I will not pray either. You see how it goes? And so, in order not to consume much time on this topic, it's clear. Change your friends. And it is not, you know, you being rude or disrespectful by changing friends. It's not like you go to your old friends and say, you guys are bad. I'm not going to spend time with you anymore. My new friends are Ahmed, Muhammad, Rabi'a, Mustafa. Say, come on, man. You know, that's not, you don't have to do this. Change friends in a very subtle, you know, very diplomatic way. Yeah, slowly but surely start hanging out with these guys more and with these guys less. And keep a string with the old ones so you can bring them with you. But make sure that they don't bring you back. Because it happens sometimes. You try to bring them and they're strong. They say, yo, you come over here. So you fall back into the old stuff. So you have to be very delicate in dealing with it. But change your friends ASAP. The fourth problem is secular knowledge creating doubt in the deen. You know, what you learn in school may affect your faith. Because they cast doubt in the minds of the Muslims. So if someone studied the Darwinism and the evolution, the theory of evolution, which has been debunked scientifically, but if someone for whatever reason started believing it, then he reads in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam min turab, he will enter a serious conflict in his aqidah. Because Darwinism is making sense to him, and the Quran contradicts Darwinism. So some of the things which they learn may affect the belief system. So you have to be very careful in regards to what you learn in school. This is not revelation. Just to give you the conclusion, what you learn in school is not wahi from Allah. Not wahi from Allah. It is man-made knowledge, which could be correct and could be incorrect. So approach it with this understanding. And how do you know what is correct and what is incorrect? Easy. You have the measurement of the Quran and the Sunnah. Whatever agrees with Quran and the Sunnah, we accept. Whatever contradicts that, we reject. It doesn't matter what they say. It does not matter what science will say. If Allah said something which opposes science today, trust me, Allah is right and they are wrong. And time will prove, hundreds of years from now maybe, that they were wrong nowadays. And they will say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. Just like they said the earth was flat. Or we made a mistake. So don't rely on science, because science is very inconsistent. What you have is the revelation from Allah. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows the secret and what is even more secretive than the secret. Nothing misses Allah. So when He created everything and He revealed information in regards to it, this is the most reliable, authentic information. Refer to it and be careful of secular knowledge. Some of the shabab say Islam is a prison. You know, you look at him just behind bars. Poor Muslim, practicing Muslim, they make him appear like he's behind bars and, you know, he has no life. Miskeen. No, nafar miskeen. Poor young man, look at me, I look cool, I dress cool, not me. The other shabab, you know, you have to go to the masjid 5 times a day, and you can look what you're wearing, all these weird clothes that you wear. We are, you know, we understand, man, 50 cents, you know, what do you know about 50 cents? Now, what do you know about Tupac? You know, these are the real guys. You don't know anything. No, you don't know anything. You don't know anything at all. The other guy is the cool guy, man. The practicing Muslim is outside of prison and you are in prison. You are in the prison of desires and misconceptions. He has been freed by Allah. And if you really want to know whether you're cool or not, wait until you enter Jannah or Jahannam. Now you tell me about a cool person in Jahannam. Can you be cool in Jahannam? No. Because Jahannam is a place of heat. Can you be hot in Jannah? No, because Jannah is a place of coolness. So the real cool people are those who go to Jannah, and the losers who think they are cool will go to Jannah. And then it will be a big deal, because there's no turning back, there's no changing, there's no nothing, it's done. Now there's a chance. Then there isn't. So do not think, Jazakallah khair. Do not think that those who are practicing don't have a life. Trust me, we practice Islam and we enjoy what Allah has made halal. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your portion of the dunya. Who has made haram the zina which Allah has given to His slaves? وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. And the good among the sustenance. It is for those who believe in this worldly life. Strictly for them in the life to come. There are many halal things which you can do. Don't think by practicing Islam you are entering a prison cell, and so that you can no longer enjoy life. You can enjoy life within the limitations set by Allah. Because if you go beyond the limitations, there's no more enjoyment, there's suffering. There's suffering. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whosoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, while he's a believer, we shall grant him a good life. So Allah made good life, happiness, joy, contentment, there in obedience and doing righteous deeds. And He made wretchedness and being depressed and being in a state of fatigueness when you turn away from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So when we're inviting you to practice Islam as a young man, don't think that you're entering a prison cell where your freedom is being taken away. Your freedom will really be there for the first time in your life. But the freedom which was set by Allah, not the one which is set by the society. Because according to the society, freedom is having girlfriends and meeting girls online and doing all kinds of haram things. This is freedom for them. But that is not freedom. in essence of the, by the Creator. In school, no school will tell you, you can do the homework, or if you want, don't do the homework. You can come on time, if you want, don't come on time. If you want to pay the tuition, you can. You don't want to pay the tuition, ما في مشكلة, no problem. Have you ever been to such a school? Because if it exists, tell me, I want to enroll. I will enroll today. No tuition, no homework, nothing. Great! At the end of the year, here's your degree. Thank you very much. No, no, they don't. So you have strict rules, man. You have to come on time. You have to be punctual. You have to do the homework. You have to do the research. You have to do all these things to give you a degree. Why? Because human sense, human being or logic entails that there are restrictions for you to attain success. And so Allah made the same principle in the deen. Lastly, even though there were more, but at the time, the ignorance, being ignorant, no knowledge of the deen. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. Learn, ya shabab. It has become so easy. So easy, online, on the phone, wherever you go, knowledge is there. From the reliable sources, from the authentic sources, knowledge has become accessible on your phone, on your computer, on your laptop. What are you doing? Learn. Start learning the deen. And Allah will facilitate. So what to do? Rise for the occasion. The invitation is that you rise to the occasion. Come. Come back to Allah. Come back to Islam. Make the deen of Allah the priority of your life. Make adherence to Islam the ultimate objective. And I will promise you, not because of some privilege which I have, I will promise you based on the Quran and the Sunnah, that when you do so, you will finally find happiness, you will finally find success, and you will finally know your way and your path to Jannah. Until then, wallahi, you will never find it. You may think that you have, wallahi, you will never find it until Islam becomes the governing force in your life. As long as you use it on part-time basis, you will never truly be guided. You will think, but you will never be truly guided until you return completely to Allah, you submit completely to Allah, you adhere strictly to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then and only then, Allah will bless your life, Allah will facilitate your affairs, Allah will guide you through difficulties, even though you will face them. Don't think it's going to be, a picnic. There will be a lot of friction. But Allah will help you through these difficult times. Like He held the messengers before you. Until you succeed in this life, and you succeed in the life to come. And so I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us all this success, and to make us among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. Jazakum Allah khairan for your patience and for hearing me out. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
I would like to make a reminder.